Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship. Well, good morning. We're so happy you decided to worship with us this morning. This week, I came across a bunch of definitions of what corporate Sabbath worship is. And I won't share all 15 of them with you right now, but I want to share one that really caught my heart. Worship is where we dislodge the secularism we've been steeped in all week and reminded of the sacredness of everything, of God's action in the world, and of our identity as God's children. That's such a comfort to me as I think about what worship is and how I describe worship as a realignment and a refocusing our hearts towards God. And especially in a virtual church service that we're doing, it feels so much harder to try to focus ourselves and to realign ourselves. But I invite you to think about that definition and think about the importance of worship and why it's important to you. So before we start worship, let's just pray together. Dear Lord, we confess that virtual worship is sometimes not easy, and we can forget the importance of worship. But we want to declare here today that we love you again, that we remember the promises and the sacrifices that you gave to us. We remember how holy they are. We thank you for worship. We thank you for giving us the act of singing to you, our Maker. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
Good morning, everyone. Our names are Al and Jean Hoagie. We are your hosts for this Sunday's service. We want to extend a warm welcome to you. We look forward to the time when we can meet together again in person.
You've heard it before. New Life Church is an agent for a changed life, a diverse community, and a radical impact. And this year, we want to focus on a radical impact and encourage serving. Throughout January, we emphasized the opportunity to provide delivery service for the food bank. In February, we want to offer another opportunity for service. With February being Family Month, we're teaming up with Best for Babies, a pregnancy outreach program hosted by Archway Community Services that offers pregnancy support to expectant parents, including education and assistance for essential supplies. We hope to put together care packages that the Family Center can distribute to help with their services, and we'll need your help in collecting and compiling those care packages. Watch for a list of items on our media sites and in next week's Encourager.
Tonight, we are hosting a church-wide bingo night on Zoom. Visit our website for more details on how to download a bingo card and get the Zoom link. We look forward to seeing everyone on Zoom for a time of connection and bingo. We will have prizes for the winners. We have capacity for 100 devices, so please limit your household to one device. The offering is for New Life missionaries. We support Fred Victory, a missionary in the Middle East. He continues to travel to different communities, sharing the gospel even during the pandemic. Eve Pohl is founding director with Hope for Cora, which is a ministry to help impoverished people in Ethiopia. She is currently working remotely and anxious to be with her team again. Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn, who live in Nigeria and are involved in Bible translation. Thanks to many of you who gave generously and bought chickens through the Christmas catalog. As a result, they are able to bless their community.
As you can see on our screen, there are many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below on the screen right here in the video description. Please join me in prayer for our missionaries. Almighty God, we come to you this morning to ask you to meet the needs of our missionaries. They are serving you in various parts of the world. We ask that you keep Fred safe as he serves in the Middle East. Eve Pohl has not been able to travel to Cora for some time. Please give her peace and wisdom as she leads this ministry from a distance. Please give the Barnhorns perseverance as they continue the task of Bible translation. They all need to sense your presence, God. Fill them with the knowledge that what they are doing is making a difference for you and your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. These materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Church kids start a new series, and this month is called Pixel Party. Each week, we'll be hearing stories from the Gospels about life-changing encounters with Jesus that show us the incredible love that Jesus has for us. Parents, if you would like your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video to set up your kids, and when we come back, we will be joined with Pastor Nathan.
Thank you. All right. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. We're in this series of messages that is concentrating on the fruit of the Spirit as Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 5. And in an age of restriction, we're talking about it in the sense of living free, to live in the freedom of Christ. Now, as we've talked about the various virtues that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5, we quite easily concentrate on how we can get more of that virtue. So when we talked about the virtue of love, we talk about how to be more loving. And when we talk about the virtue of joy and peace, we talk about how we can be more joyful, more peaceful. When we talk about the virtue of patience, we talk about how we can be more patient. This morning, we're talking about the virtue of kindness. But rather than talk about how we can be more kind, I suspect we all know that we could be more kind, I want us to celebrate kindness. I want us to celebrate that we know kindness, that we've experienced the kindness of someone else, that we are able to act in kindness. I want us to celebrate that this morning. And so, as we celebrate it, I want us, in the first place, then, to think about how kindness is generated. That it's generated simply from within a person's character. Kindness is inspired. Not that it's spontaneous all the time. You can plan to be kindness, and yet kindness is not usually calculated. In fact, if it's calculated, it's probably not kindness. If you plan to do something in order to get something, that's not so much kindness as it is simply a calculated act of how to get something. But kindness is inspired. It just arises out of a person's character. So Len Reed is shopping at Costco, and he collects all of his purchases, brings them to the cashier, places them all on the cashier belt, and gets ready to pay. He pulls out his credit card, slides it through, and it is rejected. And then begins the walk of shame, where you leave all of your purchases behind. You might mumble, "I'll get them later," and he begins to walk away from the cashier. Then suddenly, a voice behind him calls out and says, "Are you good for it?" And Len Reed turns around, and a complete stranger pays for his entire purchase. That's kindness, uncalculated, unsuspected, and simply the generosity of another person allows Len Reed to carry on without incident. Kindness. Kindness is inspired. But here's another thing. When we celebrate kindness, it's not only that it's inspired, but it is inspiring. Kindness leads to more kindness. The kindness of one person can inspire another person to also be kind. And so Ashley Joss, she decides that this year she's going to read more. That what she needs in her life is to have more input, more insight. And so she goes to the bookstore and she buys a book. She comes home. She cozies up in her favorite chair, and as she curls up, her dog barks. So she puts down the book, but as she puts down the book, it drops to the floor, and out falls a $5 bill with a note attached to it. And the note reads, "To the person who buys this book, I am having a tough day, and so I thought that maybe I could brighten someone else's with this little surprise. Please go out and buy a coffee and a donut and practice some self-care today. Signed, Lisa." Well, that indeed was an act of kindness. But that act, that note, then inspires Ashley to wonder, wait a minute, do I pay enough attention to how I can encourage other people? And so she goes about in the next week encouraging the people around her. And when they ask her, why are you doing this? She tells them about the $5 bill and the note attached to it from the book that she bought. And as other people hear the story, they too say, hey, I'm going to do something like that. And on it goes. An act of kindness inspires other kindness. So that kindness is not just something that arises out of our own character, but it also inspires kindness in other people. And so as we celebrate kindness, we see how kindness gets passed along. And as it gets passed along, it makes us feel more alive. And that's another thing about kindness, is that it represents goodness. It makes us feel more human. Kindness does. Which is why we ought to celebrate kindness, because it represents goodness. It encourages us because it says, yeah, this is why I'm alive. This is what makes me human. Joel Pruzak, he works at a local Dairy Queen store. And one Saturday, as he's working about, he observes the customers in the store, and one customer is blind, and he observes that a $20 bill falls from this blind person's pocket onto the floor. Another person is standing in line, and they discreetly stoop down, pick up the $20 bill as if it's theirs, and they put it in the pocket. Joel Pruzak walks up to the person and says, excuse me, that $20 bill that you just picked up fell out of this gentleman's pocket, and would you kindly return it to him? Well, the person gets rather defensive and even somewhat aggressive and causes a bit of commotion in defending himself in having taken that $20 bill. Rather than an ongoing argument, Joey does something very kind. He quietly and calmly takes his wallet, pulls out a $20 bill, and hands it to the blind person and says, excuse me, sir, but you dropped this $20 bill. The blind person, oblivious to everything else that has gone on, takes the $20 bill, and operations at that local Dairy Queen carry on as normal. Warren Buffett, of international investor fame, invites Joey Pruzak, after he's heard the story, invites him to the national investors meeting. Warren Buffett invites Joey to represent the kind face that DQ needs. Why? Well, I suspect because exactly kindness makes you feel more human, more alive, even if you are a corporation. Kindness makes us feel more human. Makes us feel good. It represents goodness, something we'll talk more about next week. So kindness ought to be celebrated because it arises out of our character, and because kindness gets passed along, inspiring others to act in kindness that represents all of the goodness with which we are created. Kindness then also can be celebrated because it changes us. It changes us into goodness. Kindness not only makes us feel good, but it represents a change in us. So, for example, Stuart Briscoe, a well-known preacher, he talks about how he and his wife, in their parenting days, were having a little trouble with their daughter. And she was acting out, and it seemed like this was leading to, even some rebellion. And one night, late at night, Jill, the mom, was surprised to receive a call from their daughter, who was babysitting. And Jill's mother instincts immediately kicked in, and her first response to the phone call was simply, "Is everything all right? Are you okay? What's going on?" And the daughter says, "Mom, I just wanted to call to say I'm sorry for being such a little snot." "Oh, well, that's great, honey," says Jill, "but what made you call tonight?" "Oh," says the daughter, "I've just been sitting around. Everything is fine here. And I've been thinking about you, Mom," she says. "It's your kindness that got me. The worse I became," the daughter explains, "the worse I became, the more kind you became. And I thought I should tell you." Well, that is another reason why we ought to celebrate kindness, not just because it is inspired from within, not only because it's inspiring, not only because it represents goodness, but because it can change us into goodness. Kindness. The fact that we can experience kindness and that we can exercise kindness ought to be celebrated every day of our lives. Because kindness in that way is, in the midst of a world that is broken and marred by sin, ought to surprise us and flabbergast us every day. Although, on the other hand, perhaps that kind of kindness ought not to be so surprising, since we are made in God's image, and one of the great characteristics of God is His kindness. Throughout Scripture, the kindness of God becomes one of the major characteristics that God has. It's what Paul appeals to in our text from Romans chapter 2, as Paul begins to build his argument to trust in God and in his salvation through Jesus Christ that makes us right with God again. And so we read in Romans chapter 2, this is the word of the Lord, where Paul writes, "You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge someone else, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment, you do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, His forbearance, His patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" So in the first place, as we observed about kindness, kindness is inspired, and indeed, kindness is inspired because we are made in the image of God, and God exercises kindness simply because that's His character. It arises out of His own being, kindness does. It arises out of God's being of love. In fact, the Hebrew word that we would use for kindness is actually usually translated loving kindness. You can't be kind unless you quite simply love. And so those two things are closely connected. And so in the Old Testament, loving kindness is used often to represent not only God's love, but his kindness. And then Paul also, in the passage that we looked at under the virtue of love in 1 Corinthians 13, describes love as kind. Love is kind, says Paul. And as we see that most plainly in God through Jesus Christ, his passion to see lost and lonely people belonging to him again represents his kindness. People who rebelled against God, God in his kindness receives again and goes all out to bring them back to him. God's loving kindness. But loving kindness perhaps could be mistakenly associated with simply being nice so that we take advantage of God. And that's what Paul is getting at too, is that often God's loving kindness, we simply say, oh yeah, God's a nice God, so he won't mind if I mess up or if I disregard his righteousness. But God's kindness arises not only out of his love, but also out of his righteousness. So Paul emphasizes in this particular chapter. God shows kindness because that's the way things are supposed to be. That's the way things are right. That's the way things are just. And so kindness arises out of God's righteousness. And when they're not right, God's kindness is the inspiration to restore them to the right way. So again, in the Old Testament, God's kindness, his loving kindness, is often paired with his righteousness. Loving kindness and righteousness go together. So we said that kindness is inspiring, and so it is with God's kindness. And that's the point that Paul makes in challenging our self-righteousness when we disregard God's kindness. So he says, or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness? In other words, we can't accept God's kindness and not expect to be kind ourselves. We're made in his image. If we disregard kindness in our own lives, we're disregarding God's kindness. God is not just a nice God. God is a kind God rooted not only in his love, but also in his righteousness. And so Jesus tells the parable of the unmerciful servant, a servant who owed his master a great sum. And then when that servant meets another servant who owes him a small sum, he goes after that little servant and says, you got to pay me back. When the master hears about it, of course, he says, how dare you, when I have forgiven your huge debt, to demand repayment of that little debt that was owed to you. Or the whole point in the story of Ruth back in the Old Testament, if you've read the book of Ruth, is a whole story that is steeped in the kindness of God, demonstrated by the kindness of Ruth as she goes beyond the normal expectations to continue on with Naomi, her mother-in-law, whom she owed nothing to. In fact, Naomi tells Ruth to just go away, make a life for yourself. And so Ruth sticks with Naomi. And then as the story goes on, Ruth and Naomi struggle in life together, but then Boaz comes along and he goes beyond cultural expectations to associate himself with Ruth. And so Naomi, who is emptied of all her life, is filled up again because of the kindness of Ruth and the kindness of Boaz. Which is also the point then of the story of David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20. When the friendship of David and Jonathan, when Jonathan's dad, King Saul, is after David. But David goes beyond kindness and exercises that kindness with Jonathan, Saul's son, no less. And so we see how even in Scripture, Scripture bids us to be kind, not just out of the goodness of our own heart, but kind because we're made in the image of God. As Christians, we know God's kindness through Jesus Christ, and so we can show kindness. Kindness then is inspired. It's not created from our own goodness. But as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit inspires kindness within us. Now, kindness might make us feel more human or more alive, but God's kindness is the very source of human life. And that's Paul's argument that he's building in Romans chapter 2. Not only is kindness inspired out of God's own character, not only is kindness inspiring in the sense that God, having made us in his image, now inspires us to act in kindness, but kindness is the very source of human life itself. When we think that we are justifying ourselves by the rules we keep and the good behaviors that we display, we demonstrate our own self-righteousness. We assume that we don't really need God, but it's God's overflowing, generous kindness in Jesus Christ that makes us right with God. It's the only thing that makes us right with God. And so, as Jesus lives in us, then it's the only way that we can really be alive. So that Jesus himself in John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or in another place, John 10, Jesus says, I have come so that you can have life and life to its fullness. How shall he be our life if we cannot show the kindness that Jesus so often demonstrated? Kindness over and over again to his disciples who sometimes stubbornly, sometimes just plainly, ignorantly misunderstood Jesus. How shall we not show kindness that Jesus so often demonstrated with the kindness to a little man in a tree named Zacchaeus? Kindness to the woman caught in adultery. Kindness to children when the disciples sent the children away. Kindness to the crippled whom he healed. Kindness to the blind to whom he gave sight. Kindness to the hungry whom he fed. Kindness to his own mother as he hung there on the cross. Kindness of Jesus is not only makes us feel more alive, but it is our life. Jesus is our life. Richard Wurmbrand, the Romanian pastor who was imprisoned and tortured under the communist regime years ago, tells of how one day he was back in a prison cell with other people after he had been tortured. And it was freezing cold in that cell, and he had a blanket around him to keep him somewhat warm. And then he saw another prisoner in another corner of the cell who was also shivering with cold, but with no blanket. He hugged his own blanket just more snugly around him until a thought came to him that if that were Jesus in that other corner, would he give up his blanket for him? And of course, the question answered itself, and he gave the man his blanket. If that were Jesus, if that is indeed your life, how can we not show kindness? And then finally, we said kindness not only makes us feel good, but it changes us into goodness, leads us to goodness. Paul writes to Christians who were making discipleship into a contest and judging one another. All the while, God in his kindness leads us into righteousness by a changed life in Jesus Christ. And so he writes, or do you not realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance, to a transformed life, to change? That's true, isn't it? When God shows us kindness, isn't that most often when we humble ourselves in commitment to him? Likewise, a kind word turns away wrath, so says Proverbs 15, verse 1. Now, Chris Wright, the author of a book that I've referred to in this throughout this series, acknowledges the power of kindness, referring to someone's suggestion that the end result, quote, the end result of kindness is that it draws people to you. And then Chris Wright adds, while that may be true indeed, that kindness draws people to you, the greater power is that the end result of kindness, he says, is that it draws people to Christ. And so we celebrate kindness. Wherever it shows up, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will fill us so that the fruit of kindness will ripen in us and more people will be drawn to Jesus Christ. In that spirit, we celebrate kindness. Let us pray. God, we're filled with joy when we recognize the kindness that fills our life, whether we're able to experience the kindness of another, or whether we're able to exercise kindness to one another. God, we give you thanks that in a world that is filled with violence and sin and rebellion and ignorance and trouble and frustration, yet we experience kindness. Thank you. And thank you that we've been made in your image. And that kindness arises as you live in us and we live out from the very breath that you give us. And so we pray, Father, thank you for kindness. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, live in us that we may be kind. Holy Spirit, breathe in us the kindness of God so that we can live our lives in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the world. The one whom you love and gave your son for
Well then, go into this new week. You know, during this pandemic season, we've heard a lot about being kind and to exercise kindness. This week, what we want you to do is to simply pay attention to the kindness around you and celebrate it, observe it, and give praise to God that kindness is around. And then go into this week celebrating that kindness, and I suspect that will inspire you into more kindness. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.